Amen. You may be seated there. If I know Caleb began last week teaching the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to invite you to turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. It's good to see this grow, and as it continues to grow, it's always exciting, and Caleb is owning this along with Zane, and just another opportunity for people to pause and get refreshed and get strengthened. During the middle of the week, as I looked out here, I was standing in the back, and I'm going to call out two people in particular. I was reminded of 21 years ago when I came to what was Old Fairview, and I remember teaching Wednesday night, and there were about five people there, but two of them were Mike and Michelle Stevens right there. And if y'all don't know Mike and Michelle, you need to get them. Mike was on the search committee that brought me here over 21 years ago. And, huh? What did she say? I know, it's all his fault. And he is still here. And as I was sitting back there singing, I looked up there and I went, 21 years ago, first Wednesday night service, they were sitting right there. And pretty quickly, I pulled Mike and Michelle out of a class they were in. We started a Sunday school class together. And so much of what God has done in the church is because of what Mike and Michelle have done over the years. As we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, there's some funny stories I have with Mike and Michelle as well, but we won't tell them quite yet. But in the weeks ahead, maybe I'll share some funny ones. But as you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I don't know, I'm sure that Caleb did a great job of painting the picture of Solomon when he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes. As a young man, he prayed to God for wisdom, and then you see the Proverbs, where he wrote these Proverbs, or what he's learned through life with his incredible wisdom that he prayed for, that God gave him. But then in Ecclesiastes, he's at the end of his life, he's looking back. And through this entire book, it's almost morose. It's almost he's looking back on the wasted life that he had. And it's almost within every verse and every chapter, you see a man that is saying, God, I wasted so much of my life. I could have done so much more. I had all the wisdom in the world, had all the wealth in the world, had all the power in the world, had everything at my disposal. And so much of it I just burned up. And if I could just do it over again, knowing what I know now, if I only knew it then, I'd be so much better off. A number of years ago, those of you who are a little longer in the tooth, back in 1984, you might remember Robin Leach. Remember a lot? Robin Leach would come on with his, I guess, British accent, and he would do those episodes of the lifestyles of the rich and famous. And today, I think they do shows like that on MTV, where they go look at somebody's crib. In 1984, they didn't talk about going to someone's crib and watching and looking. But Robin Leach would go find the wealthiest people and some of the most amazing people in all the world that you had heard about, a prince somewhere or some Hollywood movie mogul. And he would go follow them around, and they'd do a story about their life, the lifestyles of the rich and famous. And he would go show you their mansion, and he would show you their jet, and he would show you their amazing boat, and he would show you all of this. And he would talk with his British accent, and he made it sound so exciting. Come on, y'all. If you watched any of those episodes, you used to think, okay, let's be honest, that'd be cool. I mean, I would want to love Jesus and have a mansion. Love Jesus and have a jet. I would like to have all of that, but have in perspective. Let me tell you, everything from 1984 to 95, yeah, 11 years they ran episodes. You take all of the material possessions of everyone in every one of those episodes, put them together, and you're close to the lifestyle that Solomon had the opportunity to live. You're close. You're not there. Because if you look back over the history of kings, and there's not a Saudi prince today that has more money than Solomon had in his day. There's not anyone in the world that has more money, more power, more of everything than Solomon did. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he kind of talks about his quest and search for joy. his search for real meaning in life, and his reflection that he didn't find it, but he found the secret of life and stuff and things, and he shares it with us. Frederick Buechner, kind of took Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and changed it into modern language if he was preaching it to you. He said, if you decide to knock yourself out getting rich and living it up, all you have to show for it at the end of the day is the biggest income tax in town and a bad liver, what have you gained? And that's exactly what Solomon gets at. A lot of people run and pursue and search after money and power and this and that. And at the end of the day, they just have a big old tax return and a bad liver. And so Solomon says, let me tell you about my experience. Let me reflect for you on my experience. And so the chapter, and we'll go ahead and put the notes up there on there. And I just want to kind of give you an outline for Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and let you walk. Hopefully you have your smart device on. If not, I'll kind of read some things for you. But in verses 1 to 11, Solomon tells you that he searched for meaning in life through things. Really, through pleasure is the big word, and you'll see that right there in verse 1. So if you look at Solomon's search for meaning in verse 1 to 11, I'll just highlight a couple of verses. He says in verse 1, he says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. In other words, he says, I want to know what the meaning of life was. He's reflecting back on his life, and he says, I want to know what the meaning of life is. Let me see if meaning, true meaning, genuine meaning in life can be found in pleasure. In other words, can I find some significant meaning? And so he says, as you pick it up and read on, he says, but that also proved to be meaningless. Verse 2, he says, laughter, I said is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? He says, I tried cheering myself up with wine and embracing folly. He says, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. He says, you know what? Let me tell you what. When I dove into pleasure, I didn't dive into pleasure with reckless abandon. He says, I systematically decided, let me see if alcohol will get me what I'm looking for. Let me see if physical pleasure will get me what I longed for. He's saying I did it with wisdom. He says, I wasn't haphazardly going after pleasure. He says, I systematically, with wisdom, decided, let me try this. And then he'd back up and say, that didn't give it to me. And he said, then let me try this. And that doesn't give it to me. And I think the truth is, as much as it's easy for us to distance ourselves from Solomon in his day, that's what people are doing today. That's what people are doing today. You look at young people or middle-aged people or older people with physical pleasure, alcohol, drugs. Hey, that doesn't get it. Well, maybe social media. Or let me get a tattoo. Not anti-tattoos, I'm just saying. That didn't work. Let me get a piercing. What are people trying to do? They're trying to find something that will make them stand out. Make them stand out. Make them have genuine meaning in their life. And so many ways, we're just like Solomon. Then it says in verse 4, look at it. He says, all right, once I had finished with pleasure, he says, then I decided that doesn't get it. So I know what I'll do. I'll build things. And so it says, I undertook great projects. And if you look through there, what did he do? He built big buildings and he built gardens. He says, all right, well, the building didn't do it. So how about this? I'll build a beautiful garden and I'll be able to stroll through the garden. I'll be able to smell the flowers. I'll be able to see the trees. I'll be able to pick the fruit. And he goes, you know what? After you've seen the trees for a while and the flowers, guess what? You got to prune those things. And the fruit is just fruit after a while. And he says, this too was meaningless. Then you look down in verse 10, he says, I decided I would deny my eyes no pleasure. He says, physically I got into pleasure. Then he says, that didn't work. So I'm going to build things. He says, that didn't work. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to feast my eyes on every good pleasure possible. If it's beautiful, I'm going to look at it. If I can create it, I'm going to look at it. So he says, I refuse my heart no pleasure. And I'm looking in verse 10. He says, my heart took delight in all of my labor. And he goes, and this was the reward for all my toil, all of his pleasure, all of his projects, all of his eye candy that he had. He says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He says, you know what? I had everything. But I found that if I lived my life just focused on down here, it ended up meaning nothing. And he uses that word meaningless. I love that. It's like a soap bubble. You ever seen the kids get those bubble out and blow those bubbles? They look so significant. Have you seen those? They look so significant until you what? Try to catch one. You ever done that? I mean, I remember as a kid, you'd blow the biggest bubble, and then all of a sudden it'd begin to go, and you're like, nothing. And he says, so many of my pleasures, so many of my eye candy, so much of my projects turned into soap bubble. There's nothing. Looked significant. Turned out not to be significant. And so if verse 10 is the actual 1 through 10 or 1 through 11, if that's him reflecting on what he actually did, in verse 12 through 23 in chapter 2, he says, now let me take and with wisdom reflect back on what I did. And so in verse 12 to 23, he's reflecting back. And so he starts verse 12. He says, then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and all the madness and folly. And he says, you know what? I found that just having eye candy or building projects or involving myself in pleasure didn't do it. He goes, maybe I'll become a thinker. I'll become a deep thinker on the meaning of life. And that's where I'm going to find meaning in all of my existence. He says, in all the madness and all the folly, he says, what more? What more can the king and the king's successor do than he's already done? He says, I saw that wisdom is better than folly. He says, light is better than darkness. He says, here's what I came up to. He says, if you got to choose, this is about all I came up with in wisdom. He says, being smart is better than being dumb. And he goes, and if that wasn't enough, this is the other thing I came up with. Light is better than darkness. I mean, that's like genius, right? He says, when I really thought about it, about all I came up with is, it's better to be smart than dumb. And it's better to stand in the light than in the darkness. He says, because when you're in the darkness, you look like a fool. So what do you need? You need light. And then he goes on. He says, the wise have eyes in their heads. Okay, that's kind of interesting. Thanks for that. He says, while the fool walks in the darkness, he says, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. He says, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. He says, you know what? I'm about as smart as you come. But guess what? At the end of the day, my heart stops ticking. Just like, if he goes on, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? He says, I said to myself, this too is meaningless. Look at verse 16. He says, for the wise, like the fool, will not be remembered long. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too will die. Anybody just feel uplifted right now? Don't you just, I mean, aren't you just ready to stand up and high five each other? I mean, you're sitting here going, okay, be honest. You kind of thought how cool it must be to be Donald Trump today, right? I mean, even if you love the underdog, even if you're, doesn't matter what political party, let me tell you what. He beat everybody when everybody said he couldn't beat him. I mean, be honest. I mean, standing up on stage when he walked up, he didn't do it. He was almost kind of humble, which is shocking for Donald Trump. But inside, don't you know that dude's not one to sit there and go, hey, Look at me now, right? I mean, be honest. I mean, that, you're sitting there going, dude, you did it. But in the end of the day, I don't know when his day is, but he's going to die just like the coal miner that spends 12 hours a day digging coal in the bottom of the earth. He might die in one of the Trump hotels, but everyone dies. And you're sitting there going, come on, Solomon. Is it really that bad? Can't you shed light for me on how I should live? And he goes, yeah. He says, keep reading. Because now look at verse 24 to 26. Look at what he says. In verse 24, this is the conclusion. He says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their own toil. He says, this too I see is from the hand of God. He says, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? He says, to the person who pleases him, talking about God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to, listen to this, to hand it over to the one who pleases God. And he says, this too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So here's kind of the thought. As you look through in verse 24 to 26, Solomon comes down with this summary. You ready? When it comes to your life and my life, here's Solomon's summary. He says, God gives us the ability to earn and build what we have. If you are a Solomon type or a Trump type, and you have the ability to build and amass incredible wealth, I want you to look at this. Solomon, that is a gift from God. Don't ever, ever, he says, be shy about the fact that God gave you the ability to build a lot. And he says, you build everything you have. Then the next thing he says in verse 24, he says, we should enjoy the fruits of our labor. Whatever you have, enjoy it. Enjoy it. If you've got a lot, enjoy it. If you've got a little, enjoy it. Whatever you've earned, whatever you've made, don't be shy about it. Who knows? Maybe Robin Leach will come to you someday and say, I want to do a lifestyle of the rich and famous on you someday. And if that happens, he says, you enjoy it because you worked for it and you earned it with your own hand. But look at the next thing he says. This enjoyment is a gift from God. God gives us the ability to enjoy what our hands have worked for. You know, the interesting thing, whatever they want to say about Trump being a billionaire, that his dad gave him $1 million, let me tell you what, he still turned $1 million into $1 billion. That ain't bad, right? He worked at it. He made it happen. And you can do the same thing. If you're like me, when my father passed away, I think he left my mom about $50 because he was 49. He didn't know. He didn't know he was going to pass away. I hope to leave my kids more. And guess what? I hope they work with it, understand it, enjoy it as a gift from God. Look at the next one, D. But lasting enjoyment comes from giving of what we have to please God. In return, we receive wisdom, everything you have on yourself. And you don't give some in his portion, God's portion, back to him to build his kingdom, to do his work, to spread the gospel. At the end of the day, it's going to be meaningless. Because let's say you hold a little back for yourself. When you die, guess what? All you've done is hold a little back for yourself. And then look at the next thing he says. The selfish sinner will ultimately lose everything they have, including enjoyment. So let me put two thoughts up here on the screen for you. Two questions. When you think about Solomon and his conclusion, God gave you the ability to make wealth. Solomon says, make as much as you can. Then Solomon says, enjoy it as much as you can, because enjoyment of what you make with your hands is a gift from God. He said, then use what you've earned and what you've gained to honor God. And when you do that, he'll give you knowledge and wisdom and genuine enjoyment. And then God says, Solomon says, don't be like the selfish sinner. And you know what? I believe that Solomon, when he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes, is looking back mournful of his wasted seasons and wasted days, the time he didn't spend building God's kingdom. Because when you look back at the beginning of Solomon's days, it couldn't have been more promising. It couldn't have been more promising. But he turned. If you want to know about, here's your cross reference. If you want to write this down, you want to see all that Solomon did, go look at 1 Kings chapter 4. That's where it'll tell you about his 1,000 wives and concubines and all of his building projects and all the deals he had and all the kings from different provinces coming and bowing at his feet. And he looks back as an old man and said, if I had it to do over again, I would work just as hard as I worked, but I would be faithful to God.